Good evening and welcome along to another episode of The Score here on Highland. I'm your host, Mark Gallagher, and I'll be with you right through until 8 o'clock. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll be looking ahead to this weekend's National Senior Track and Field Championships with our athletics correspondent, Patsy McGonigal. We'll hear from Eamon McGee, who has this week taken up a role on the new senior management team in Sligo. But firstly, it is an action-packed bank holiday weekend in the League of Ireland. Finn Harps play Wexford tomorrow night, Friday, and are then at home to Bray Wanderers on Monday. Derry, meanwhile, are away to Shamrock Rovers on Sunday. And I'm delighted to say, joining me on The Score this evening to look ahead to a busy weekend of domestic soccer action is former Harps captain Keith Cowan. Keith, thanks very much for joining us once again here on The Score programme.
Cheers, Mark. Thanks for having me on. Good man.
So we'll start with Finn Harps. Another decent result for Harps last week against Cove, a 2-2 draw, and by all accounts could and possibly should have won the game. More signs of positivity and progress.
Yeah, there is. I suppose at this time there definitely is a lot to be optimistic about up in Finn Park. You know, a real battling performance last week. I suppose going behind twice to a good Cove side, like they're obviously at the opposite ends of the table. You know, really making that push for promotion and not too far away from Dundalk. But yeah, no, look, a lot to be optimistic about. You see, Hans Mpongo coming in there, third game, and you know, two goals in two games for him is you know, really positive when your striker scoring goals. And you know, there's always a thing, you know, when you bring someone new to the club, will it take him long to settle? And especially for a striker, you know, it's always about getting that first goal. But you know, he is two now, and you know, I was really surprised and really impressed, I suppose it's probably a better word, impressed by the manner that he took his goals, you know, especially last week, you know, showing real composure and, you know, maybe not snatching at a shot too early when he was through on goal. And, you know, he was able to finish it well, really good. And you know, another signing as well, the young Canadian lad, Zurich, you know, was able to provide an assist for Tony's goal for the second. So, yeah, like when you bring in players, you know, especially, you know, Kevin just been, I suppose, a new manager and a young manager at that as well. You know, although his huge, vast experience as a player, when he's making these signings, you know, he's kind of, I suppose there is a little, you know, will they work? Will they come to Balfour? Will they settle? Like I said, and you know, when your winger's coming in and providing assists, and then you know, when your striker's scoring goals, you know, he'll be really happy with how the lads have come in, and you know, in the first couple of games, how they've done.
Yeah, the likes of Mpongo settling really well, and he'll be looking to have maybe another couple of goals in him this weekend. Tomorrow night away to Wexford and then home to Bray on Monday. Going by the recent results Harps have picked up, they won't be going into either game with any fear, and you know, they'll be really optimistic about getting a couple of good results here.
Yeah, they will, and I think they have a couple of draws against Wexford already this season. You know, Wexford just a couple of positions ahead of Harps. I think 3 points separate them. Harps currently on 24 points in 8th position. Wexford a couple ahead. They're up in 6th position. You know, it's I suppose at the minute, like, it's, you know, you look at the travel down to Wexford and then the quick turnaround then to Bray home on Monday night. It's definitely a place they'll believe that they'll go and get a result. A point on the road is always good. You know, Wexford have quality. You know, they have good strikers. Mikey Rowe stands out, you know, as one of them. And we know, you know, he's dangerous and he's, you know, one of the top performers in the league this season. You know, we're kind of maybe thinking somebody in the Premier League might have took a stab at him to try and, you know, bolster their attacking options. But, you know, they've only lost 1-8 Harps at the moment. You know, a couple of, I think, 4 draws in there as well. So, you know, it's a positive position to have confidence, you know, going to places like Wexford, you know, even like last week, Mark, you know, when you go behind in a game and you can battle back, that gives huge confidence. And then when you have a striker who's, you know, scoring goals, that'll give the team a lift as well. So no, there's they definitely won't fear much going to Wexford at the moment. And yeah, look, I think a point down there would be great, but there's no reason why they can't get all three.
Yeah, despite the run of decent results, it is looking fairly unlikely Kevin McHugh's side will be able to make the playoffs. You know, there are a lot of good teams above them. Between now and the end of the season, is it a case of just trying to keep the positive momentum going, moving as far up the table as you can and just building for the next campaign?
I think so. I think they will. You know, when you look at how Harps have gone this season, I think they've only put back-to-back wins maybe twice this year. And maybe even one of those there was, you know, up and recently. I think they got a 1-0 win away at Tradie and then a 1-0 win home against Dundalk. So maybe not ones that you've been banking on as such. So that level of inconsistency isn't really going to push you into that top five. I think, look, when things are going well, you don't really want to, I suppose, alter things too much or try and put too much pressure on players about getting into that top five or in those playoff places. If you can get this group of players to the end of the season and keep them together for next season, then you have the makings of a good squad that can then think about promotion. I don't think anyone around Fulham Park at the moment would want promotion. Maybe some of the fans would in terms of, you know, the fixtures you'd be looking at next season. But in terms of building something for the future, I think it's very much so just, you know, try and keep the positive results going. You know, the cup run is something that, you know, a big cup game is something that would be an attractive, you know, thing that Harps could look forward to, getting one of the big sides at home maybe. You know, and you never know then, you know, in a cup game. So, yeah, I think, like you say, Mark, it's all about just maintaining that good momentum, building for next season, and then hoping that they can sort of keep that nucleus of that squad together and maybe add a bit more quality.
Yeah, well, let's hope they have another good weekend this weekend. We'll have live updates with Liam Spratt from that Finn Harps clash with Wexford at Ferry Carrick Park. That's from 7:45 tomorrow evening here in Highland. Elsewhere in the First Division tomorrow night, leaders Dundalk are away to UCD. Kerry host Athlone Town. Longford go to Cove, and it is Bray Wanderers up against Tradie United. Moving on to the Premier Division, it's a bit of a strange weekend with fixtures split across Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Derry actually aren't in action until Sunday when they go to Shamrock Rovers. Keith, is this a must win for Derry City if they're to hang on to the coattails of Rovers?
I think so. I think if they have ambitions of maybe, you know, trying to knock Rovers off their perch, they have to go and win on Sunday. You know, these can be, I suppose, difficult games. Was obviously Rovers trying to you know, balance their Europe as well. So look, with the squad that they have, you know, it's just obviously depends how they manage it, how Bradley manages these upcoming. You know, that inconsistency that has sort of plagued Derry this season, you know, some really good results and then, you know, some really negative performance. They are looking to do something in terms of, like we say, knocking Rovers off their perch. They have to go there and pick up 3 points. I actually remember going and playing Rovers on a Sunday evening after their European game when I was at Drogheda, and they put out a half-strength team against us, and they ended up rallying near the end. We actually finished 1-1 that game. They got a goal late on. We scored early, and so it's about managing those games. Maybe I don't think he will take Derry as lightly maybe as he took Drogheda. Stephen Bradley won't. So it'll be a very different approach, I'm sure, that he's going to take come Sunday. But yeah, it's definitely one that both teams will know that they have to pick up 3 points in.
Would it be over the top to suggest that if Rovers win this game, they should be nearly seen as champions elect, or is it a wee bit too early for that stuff?
Again, I suppose it all depends on how Bulls do as well this weekend. You know, they're the kind of ones that are the chasing pack. You know, you see Derry there. I think Derry maybe on 41 points, Bulls second on 42. And then Shamrock Rovers obviously leading in 49. If Rovers beat Derry, you think maybe that's them maybe out of touch. Mm. And then it's going to be between obviously Bowes and Shamrock Rovers. Bowes play Drogheda on Friday night. So, you know, I think that's, if they can maybe get a home win there, then that'll maybe possibly turn into a two-horse race. But, you know, I think it's slightly early to be talking like that. Still a lot of football to play yet, Mark.
Yeah, as for Derry, you know, if they're not going to win the league, then securing European football again will obviously be a huge priority. A defeat to Shamrock Rovers on Sunday could put the cat amongst the pigeons in that regard as well. As, you know, you've Drogheda and Shelburne lurking there in fourth and fifth.
Yeah, a lot of teams in the mix, you know, that'll be really vying for that third, you know, that third automatic European spot. You know, huge knock for Derry not getting European football this season. And, you know, I think that I'm sure when Tiernan took the job, the bare minimum was European football. You know, a club that size, you know, has to be in those competitions. They really do. And, you know, when they're not, and, you know, Shamrock Rovers are obviously picking up that spot and be lucky to get it this year, I suppose, the way it went. With the cup and that, and you know, like teams like Shamrock Rovers are maybe actually pulling further and further ahead, because that investment, because that money that, you know, is that that comes to the teams that are getting it into Europe. So yeah, look, I think Tierney will be under pressure in that regard to maybe pick up that third spot. You know, if second is out of reach and if first isn't attainable, then, you know, by all means he'll be hoping, and so will the Derry fans, and so will the Derry board be hoping that that third spot is at least that they come away with.
In other games across the weekend, you've got Bowes playing Drogheda. That's actually an interesting one if you're a Derry supporter. Cork at home to Galway. Chappie and Shelburne are at the Showgrounds to play Sligo. Sligo have just won three games in a row. And St Pat's head south to Waterford. Just finally, Keith, things are getting interesting at the bottom of the table as well. Galway have gotten dragged into a bit of a relegation scrap. Even St Pat's and Waterford, they're just looking at the table. They'll be looking over their shoulders to an extent. Sligo won two in a row in the league, unbeaten in six in all competitions. The Bitter Red are making a bit of a fist of it.
They are indeed. You know, I was just watching I think the game that was kind of stood out last weekend was, you know, Cork, you know, propping up the table there only on 15 points, and then Sligo were just ahead of them there. Cork going 2-0 up, and then Sligo coming back and beating them 3-2. You know, if that's the kind of performances that they're going to put in at home, you don't really deserve to get out of a relegation battle, or, you know, and the way Sligo have gone recently, you know. So, you know, a great home performance against Derry a couple of weeks ago, winning 2-0, and then, you know, going to Cork and, you know, showing that real, you know, spirit and determination to get back into the game. You know, Paddy McLean, an old teammate of mine as well, probably with two goals, you know, who've been, you know, when you have a 6'2" defender who's not been picked up from corners, something's wrong, you know. So, a really good start at Sligo for him. So, you know, fair play. They seem to be, as you say, making a fist of it. 3 points behind Galway, who have lost their, you know, their lead striker, Moses Dyer, who's moved to a Cambodian outfit. I'm not even going to try and pronounce that name where he's gone. But it just shows as well, you know, what the league is about in terms of they've got, their top goal scorer who, you know, was keeping them well up the table. And, you know, he's gone elsewhere. You know, he's obviously, I think he's cashed in. I think Galway had let him go for something like €30,000. And he's gone to, you know, make a good living for himself in the Cambodian league. So, you know, that is, I suppose, the kind of the ransom that, you know, League of Ireland clubs find themselves being held to. But, you know, again, this has worked in Sligo's favour. Galway struggling now, dropping down. Waterford, you know, indifferent, you know, picking up a few results. Pat's not where we thought they would be at all. You know, they have the, you know, the European stuff is maybe slightly on their mind as well. But look, in terms of, you know, what Stephen Kenny had put together there, you know, a few people had him tipped for challenging for the title. Just the levels of inconsistency that they've shown, you know, down in seventh position there, not really what the fans in Inchicore would have been thinking at all.
Former Harps captain Keith Cowan. Now it is time to take a quick break here on the programme. We'll be turning the scope to Gaelic games after these. You're very welcome back to the programme. Now we're going to focus on Gaelic games, and the news came out earlier this week that Eamon O'Hara and Desi Sloyan will be taking charge of the Sligo senior footballers. Alongside them will be Con O'Mara and 2012 All-Ireland winner with Donegal, Eamon McGee. Well, Highlands Oisín Kelly has been speaking to Eamon about the decision to take on a coaching and selector role at Sligo. Oisín also got the Gador man's thoughts on Donegal's All-Ireland final defeat to Kerry and the upcoming Donegal Club Championships, which will begin next weekend, the 10th and 11th of August.
Eamon, hello there. Welcome to the programme.
Cheers, Oisín. Cheers, Oisín. It's a longer week than last week now, but it's still good to be here.
Yeah, long week, surely. Different sort of week. We'll talk about that in a minute. So we will, and obviously your appointment as coach to Sligo as well, returning to the inter-county scene. But first of all, maybe we might just nip into the club scene here in Donegal. Confirmation over the last number of days that the Michael Murphy Sports Donegal Club Championships are going ahead as planned, starting on Saturday week the 9th and Sunday the 10th of August. Now, there was lots of speculation around whether there would be a deferral of the championship by a week or two, obviously, to give everybody involved that was part of this run to the All-Ireland final maybe an extra week's break to get their bearings again. But that's not the case. We're going straight into the club championship. And what's your views on it, Eamon? My take would be that maybe we should have held it back for a week or two. The likes of the Tyrone final, for example, is on the 19th of October. Donegal final's penciled in for the 12th. I think there could have been an extra week or two grace there, but that's not the case. What's your view on it?
I get it. You know, if I'm managing a club team, I'd probably, you know, want them extra few weeks, Chris. But I think because of the fact that they have their schedule, and you know, for me, the schedule should be rock solid, so people can plan around it. People can build. That was one of the big criticisms that, you know, previous years where you couldn't plan anything. You know, club championships were starting up willy nilly, and you know, league games and that, this and that. And I get the logic to the county board. I would take great issue with the split season as it is now. I was definitely a big fan of it, but I think for clubs themselves and for county players, for club players, that we should have a situation where the county players should be able to play a few club games, because at the minute now they're just parachuted and, you know, they'll take a wee break for the week, get back to training, and then they're straight in a club championship, and I don't think that that's fair. And obviously from a player's perspective, you like that wee break, but I understand that the county board just want to stick to their schedule now. But the split season, the vision I had in my head was one where there's just county players could go back to their club, play the club season, and then they could get their club season. So probably won't work, but I think there's a happy, like in terms of Tyrone, try and do their best to get a few league games, and that's the one we should be going towards.
Yeah, but it's, that's okay for Tyrone in this circumstance. So it is, Eamon, because they were put out of the championship a lot earlier than Donegal was, and it seems to be unfair on the county players. And you can also suggest that it's unfair that the clubs that they're involved with, because the reality of this is there's players now who are going on holidays and very much deserving of their break off the back of the commitment that they gave to Donegal to get to an All-Ireland final. And there will be a good lot of them probably not available to their clubs come the start of the club championship on the 9th of August.
Yeah, and I get that. And maybe from a human perspective, the county board probably could have looked at it and says, listen, we'll give the lads the opportunity to breathe, take a wee recharge and get into it, but it's just not. They're going ahead, and that's it. And we just have to get on with it. And like you look at Kilcare play the league, and fair play to them. They managed to stay up now, but because they were missing, you know, Owen, Ryan, Paddy, Mark was involved in the coaching level, and probably Mark's introduction probably saved their season. But because they had county players, they're being punished. And, you know, they're staring relegation in the face for most of the league. So we've got to look at that there, I think. And we definitely have to. We've had the conversation, the county board are going ahead with it, but the human thing and probably the right thing to do would be to give them a break.
Yep. Tyrone are straight knockout. Derry have changed the way they're doing their club championship this year. They've reverted back to the old style type of qualifiers instead of the group. With Donegal now, I think it's there's a 9-week period, and there's going to be 7 games within a 9-week period with 2 breaks, one before the semi-final, one after round 3. There's lots of football to be played in there. Is the system right going forward for Donegal in the format of the club championship at senior level?
Goes back to it, you know, like if you go for the Tyrone model and you have one game, you know, everybody looks at the Tyrone championship, but you could pick up an injury from a county player, could pick up an injury, pick up a wee niggle, and you're all based on that one game. And the GAA were all about championship and what we do in the championship. So it's kind of tilted towards too much jeopardy. But I felt at the minute, Donegal won, there's not enough jeopardy. And I think we can find that balance somewhere in between. Because at the minute, you know, you can stutter through the group stages, I find. And you're not really asking many questions. And for me, maybe a wee bit of a traditionalist now, but for me, championship football should be about asking questions of yourself and of the opposition. And at the minute, you know, the leagues in Donegal aren't in Division 1 anyway. Whatever about Division 2 and 3, they're different. But Division 1, they're really not competitive because you're not getting the best teams out. So young players coming into Division 1 aren't really learning in that top environment, and now we're putting them in the championship where there's just are them same questions being asked these players, and are they developing now? So I think somewhere we can get a happy medium with the club championship.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, we'll move away from the club. You said at the start this is a different type of week to what we had last week, and you've had several days now to, I suppose, reflect on what happened on Sunday, Eamon. And after all the hype and everything there comes with an All-Ireland final, we were deflated very, very quickly with how the game was panning out. And it seemed to be from very early on that the writing was on the wall for the result, which came at the end of the day in a Kerry 1 and a Donegal defeat.
Yeah, and it was just, that's the exact word, just so deflated, because we were just on the crest of a wave there, us the supporters, and enjoying the buzz, enjoying the energy. You know, you walk up through Dublin and you see the colour and you're seeing different faces, and I just thought it was a brilliant buzz, and my kids really loved it as well. And, you know, we were a bit like, we had that naive mindset, the same as the kids, where losing didn't come into the thought process. And then we get that bad start, and I just had an ominous feeling that when we got the ball, got turned over a bad ball, ended up with Clifford's hand and two-pointer over the bar, and I just thought, it's just not going to go our way today. And especially that was hammered home with the two-pointer at the buzzer at the end of the first half. I knew then we just left ourselves too much and that we're just totally deflated. But it's important, you know, you still have to be proud of the lads, that the journey they've been on over 3 years. You know, someone sent me a screenshot of where they went during that in Paddy Carr's year, and where they've progressed to now in terms of semi-final appearance, All-Ireland final appearance, two in a row with Ulster. And we have to acknowledge that as well. I think there's a few boys coming out of the long grass that are waiting to have a go with Jim and waiting to have a go with us and Donegal. And I think we just totally disregard them and just be proud of the lads. And just, we can still be disappointed and we can still, you know, be deflated, but we have to be proud of the lads and how they went about the business this last 2 years.
Certainly so. And listen, we can't forget about the memories. And we've had some fantastic times over the last 2 years, as these guys give everything for the county and for the Donegal supporters. But
100%, yeah, Oisin. Yeah. You know, for me, I'll always be grateful because my wee man's got the bug, and you know that seed has been planted. He wants to be Shane O'Donnell, and he's looking at Donegal teams now, and he's asking questions. And for me, that's priceless. You know, medal or not, I think something like that there for them to plant the seed in the young person's, that he wants to play for Donegal and he wants to aspire to be a Donegal player, that journey helped build that. So that's priceless.
Yeah, certainly is. Can Jim keep everybody together, and can Donegal continue this journey? Can they get back to an All-Ireland final next year? I know, listen, it's we're talking here and the guys are obviously disappointed, and listen, they're all heading away on holidays and they're trying to process the whole events from last weekend. But we're talking as a radio broadcaster and a pundit here, Eamon, and obviously we're looking to what's going to be next. And that first stage is Jim McGuinness trying to keep everybody there and having another tilt at this. Is that possible?
100% is possible. Now, some lads will ask themselves the question over the next few months what they want to do. And you know, it's a big world out there. There's some young members of that squad there and they might go off and do different things. And that's fair enough too. Like you have to take that into consideration in today's world. And probably the question that's on everybody's lips is what Murphy does now. And again, I've talked about this here, you know, on the Monday after the final, is that, you know, that's up to Michael now, whether he stays about or not. In terms of ability, in terms of leadership, he can do it no bother. And he still has a lot to offer, but can he give the commitment that he wants? Then we've talked about when he retired before, when he stepped away before, that he just wasn't in a position to give it, and he just didn't feel right being about the squad, not. And that's the only question for Michael now. But Jim can 100% keep it together. and he'll have learned plenty. He'll have learned enough through that year with the new rules and with everything that he can kick on. But we have to acknowledge that the landscape of the GAA, where the teams are, there's a load on that. You know, there's about five or six coming under the head there where in and around the same level, and there's just no guarantees when you're in that there's going to be another final now. And that's why it was important just to savor last Sunday.
Well, of course, we'll wait to see what the future brings on the Donegal front. I'm sure as the weeks go on and the club championship goes on, there'll be lots more discussion on it. But Eamon, your future has now got a very strong connection to Sligo. You're in with Eamon O'Hara and Desi Sloan, and as a coach of the Sligo Intercounty Footballers. How did this come about, and what had you so intrigued about getting back into, I suppose, being involved at senior intercounty level, Eamon?
Listen, you know, I think I enjoy chatting about GAA. I've talked about this. I enjoy chatting about GAA, and you know, kind of enjoying that pundit role, as you call it. But like, you know, where I really want to be is in the dressing room. Unfortunately, I'm at the stage now in my life where I can't really offer much from a playing perspective. And listen, I'm doing a wee bit of coaching, and the opportunity came up. The boys approached me a few weeks ago, probably about 5-6 weeks ago, and you know, well, the county thing is just so much commitment, and you know, takes over part of your life. It just, you can't just say no. You have to consider it, and you do your research, and you chat to the people in your life. Can you give the commitment? And you know, thankfully, it all, like, in terms of what I talked about, and with Joanne, and in terms of the kids and all that, and we got the okay there, and there's good potential in Sligo. It's going to be a good group to work with. The lads are, you know, keen. The lads have been about, so there's loads there for me to learn from, and I that's where I'm at. I'm on that learning journey with coaching. I'm still just trying to get to where I want to be in it, and I think it's very important that we do go with that learning mindset, and I'm just looking forward to the challenge now. So it's just good to get back into intercounty setup and you know, find my feet in there.
Yeah, well, the likes of Eamon and Desi obviously feel that you have something worthy to bring to the table. Eamon, what do you think that you can bring to the group?
Listen, I'll we'll ask that question in about 6-7 months, what I can bring to the group now. But you know, I'm on that learning curve. I'm finding out about myself in terms of as a coach, and you know, a lot of people fall down the trap of saying, "Oh, you're just going to carbon copy with what McGuinness did," and you know, that's, don't think there's any success to be had in that there, in terms of, you know, that was Jim, and Jim's vision suited Jim. You know, for me, just to carbon copy and paste it, I can't sell Jim's vision because it's not mine. And you know, I'm just forming my own philosophy, my own way of looking at the game in terms of how I coach it, and that's what I'm trying to do. You know, I just want to add something. You know, for me, decision making is a big thing in the coaching world, and that's something I'll be trying to hone in on, is trying to make, you know, 20 to 25 good decision makers in them pressure environments, and that's something I'm looking forward to. You know, you have to remember, you're working with intercounty lads who want to learn, who are there to really test themselves, and I want to be in that environment, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, does the new rules, obviously we've got a year under our belt now of county level done with the new rules, does that make it more exciting from a coaching point of view in your mind, Eamon?
It does. It's just, you know, it's a new canvas, as I say, that we are all probably operating off the one way of thinking, and now it just opens it up, and there is avenues that probably lads will go down that hasn't been explored this season, and they'll start looking at it, and they'll start, you know, saying, well, maybe there's joy to be had here. But it is exciting, and it is, I don't think anybody's truly mastered it yet. You know, it's year one of the new rules in terms of kickouts, in terms of how we work the two-pointer score. There's so much more scope there for us to go on to in terms of the mark. Probably we didn't see enough of that there, the way that's brought into the new rules. So it's good, and it's like, it's, you just need to be on your toes, and mad. You say you have to be mad to learn. I think that's the big thing about coaching. You have to be. You see these people that manage and coach, and because they've played and because they've, you know, won stuff as a player, they think they know it all, and that's far from the case. I think we've seen that over and over through the years. You have to be open. And you have to be mad to learn. And that's where I'm at there.
Yeah. Just on a Sligo thing, coming to the end here, I mean, obviously there'll be a feeling at times that maybe Sligo have underperformed, but when you look over the last year or two, they have had very, very strong underage teams, and maybe Sligo might be coming to a period now where that tide might be turning.
Ah, yeah. Listen, anybody I chatted about the Sligo job was there's loads of potential there. And they reference the under-20s, and there's a good group there. And you should always, there's been good work done by McEntee. You know, Colum has been down there. Papa Durkin has been involved. And, you know, you can obviously look for a bit of feedback there. And there has been good work done. That's why you should all, when you're taking the job, you should always look who's been there before you. Because it means where they're at in terms of how much work do you have to do with that group. And I think you have to acknowledge that McEntee has done good work, and it's just about maybe taking that onto the next level. And, you know, potential is an easy word to throw about, but it's no good unless you fulfill it. So that's what we're looking to do, and, you know, get the club season over, and then just get stuck into the Sligo job.
Yeah. Listen, you've still got a lot of work to do with the club. Obviously, you're involved in coaching Buncrannon, and you have the championship coming up around the corner as well. So it's not going to stop, Eamon. Thanks for joining us on the Score programme.
Cheers, Ashton.
And we'll be catching up again soon. And the very best of luck with the Sligo job.
Thank you, Ashton. Take care. Bye-bye.
That is 2012 All-Ireland winner Eamon McGee in conversation with Highlands Ashton Kelly after taking up a coaching role in Sligo. Elsewhere in Gaelic games this weekend, it's a big weekend in the Donegal Senior Hurling Championship, as there is a doubleheader of semi-finals taking place at O'Donnell Park on Saturday afternoon. Firstly, at 2 o'clock, St Dunans will face Sean McCools in their last four clash. And after that, at 4 o'clock, old rivals Setanta and Burt will go head-to-head in the other semi-final. That is a repeat of last year's championship final, where Burt claimed their first title in 6 years in a four-point triumph over Setanta. We will have live updates from both of those games on Saturday Sport with Chris Ashmore, who will be at O'Donnell Park. There's also one fixture in the Intermediate and Junior Hurling Championship on Saturday, with Four Masters facing Dunloe in Donegal Town at 7:30. And in football, Sunday we'll see the Division 4 League final take place between Neve Connell and Termon. That game has a 3 o'clock throw-in at O'Donnell Park. Now, the National Senior Track and Field Championships are taking place in Santry this weekend, with a host of Northwest athletes aiming to claim national titles. To look ahead to what will be a great event, I've been speaking to our athletics correspondent, Patsy McGonigal.
So, Patsy, let's have a chat about some of the local athletes that will be competing this weekend. We'll start maybe with Mark English, going in the men's 800 metres. Mark's been in flying form recently, seems to be getting better, actually, and as always, at national level, he'll be hard to beat, I'm sure.
Yes, indeed, and just to clarify the situation about Mark, he's entered in both the 4 and the 8, and it may emerge that he will actually concentrate on the 4. So, but certainly, and that'll be interesting as well, you know, to see how he compares to the top 200 or 300, 400 meter runners in the country, etc. So that'll be interesting. Yes, he is going extremely well, and if he decides to go on the 800 meters, he'll be out there to build on that great record that he has of winning national 800 meter titles.
Yeah, and Fintan Dewhurst, he's back from competing for Ireland at the European Under 23 Championships. Didn't quite go his way in the heat in the 400 meter hurdles, but I'm sure it'll be a good learning curve for him. He'll be looking to get amongst the medals this weekend.
He will, and it may not be easy either, because at the end of the day he did have an injury going into the Europeans, obviously. So to what extent has he recovered from that, and so on. So, but he is a possible medalist in the 400 meter hurdles. So we'll just have to wait and see. But he did compete and he did qualify for the Under 23 European Championships, which in itself was a positive. But let's see how he's recovered from his injury.
Finn Valley's Arlene Crossan, she'll be going in the 400 metres and the 400 metre hurdles. What kind of performance are we expecting from Arlene?
Well, we have to be looking for a medal. You know, she's entered in both the 4 and the 400 hurdles. You know, should she go in the 400 metre hurdles? Yes, she would anticipate that she would medal. Most definitely enter the 400 metres just to make an impact, big time to make an impact, because she was a member of that 4x4 relay team. You know, really and truly been serious about it. She would need to be putting a marker down for future 4x400 metres relay squads. That's where that target would be, but certainly a medal in the 400 metre hurdles is a serious possibility.
And Lauren Callaghan, she'll be going on the long jump. She'll be hopeful of getting a medal, will she?
Indeed she will, and she won the National Indoor Championships, and you know, honoured on the day, she could win the long jump. You know, she had a great indoor championships, over 6 metres, she holds the gold record. Personal best performances, very dedicated young athlete, travelled through Europe through the summer months to prepare for the National Senior Championships. So fingers crossed now that she can bring good form into the Senior Championships, and most definitely if she can hit that board and hit it right, she certainly has a possibility to win the long jump, but certainly at least get a medal.
John Kelly, he's been going well in the shot put recently. We know John had his troubles for a long time with injury, but is there a national title in him this weekend?
Well, there's always a national title in him. You know, he has won the national title on a number of occasions previously. There's always a battle between him and an American-based athlete called Eric Favors, who's actually throwing a bit better than him at the moment. But most definitely, what we would be looking to John for certainly is a medal, silver medal possibly, if he can't get the gold, and get himself over 18 metres again, so which is very respectable shot putting. You know, he's been, since he was a young boy, he's been setting records, setting markers, winning championships. Yeah, indeed, he went to the World Championships, one of the few, very, very few Donegal athletes that qualified for a World Championship track and field a couple of years ago in Portland. So, he is back from Sweden for the championships.
In terms of other local athletes, anybody else that we should be looking out for?
Well, we're looking out for Adrienne Gallen. She's likely to pick up a medal in the hammer, I would imagine. She has done previously, and she, you know, through the age groups, underage groups, through the season, both herself and her sister Kiva, both of whom are entered, Lifford-Strabane athletes, both of them will be competing, which is fair play to them. And let's see if indeed Adrienne can get herself a medal, which I think she can in the hammer.
Yeah, so the National Senior Track and Field Championships, it's always a great occasion, and the local athletes will be all going down there looking forward to a great weekend, and it should really be a great occasion as always.
Absolutely. I mean, one athlete that I neglected to mention is Summer Leckie. She has an absolutely brilliant record, winning titles over the years since she was a young lady in that high jump. So she will be under pressure, certainly, but she certainly is good enough for a medal. Her form hasn't been great lately, but we'll have to just wait and see on the day.
That's great, Patsy. We'll be, I'm sure, touching base with you over the weekend, and hopefully you'll be bringing us news of some local medals here from the Track and Field Championships.
Hopefully, certainly so. All right then, Mark.
Highlands Athletics correspondent Patsy McGonigal. Well, it's also a big weekend on the local cricket scene with the Northwest Senior Cup final taking place between Donnymanna and New Buildings. New Buildings, of course, are the defending champions, having won it for the first time in 2024 after losing out in consecutive finals in 2022 and 2023. Donnymanna, who are chasing a 24th Cup success, they last won it in 2020. That match will be played over 250 over innings on Friday and Saturday. And there's local interest in the WRC this weekend, with Rally Finland taking centre stage. Derry's Josh McAuleen and Donegal's Eamon Kelly are both in action in that event over the weekend. Finally, the Silver Tassie Hotel and Spa are hosting a champagne scramble on Friday the 8th of August in aid of the Breast Centre Northwest. Entry for a team of four is €120 with a golf meal included at the Silver Tassie, and they have a host of great prizes to be won. You can book your spot now at Letterkenny Golf Club by calling 074 912 1150. That's 074 912 1150. That is just about it for another episode of The Score here on Highland Radio. I've been your host, Mark Gallagher, and as always, if you missed any of tonight's show, it will be available to listen back to very shortly over on our website at highlandradio.com. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great weekend, and I will talk to you again soon.